The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. Before beginning our program, we would like to invite you to sign up for a free trial subscription to one of our publications at irei.com. Whether you are interested in real estate, infrastructure, or real assets in general, IREI has a publication to suit your needs. Select Publications on the main menu to choose a publication. Interested in more than one? Sign up for them all.
This podcast has been sponsored by Juniper Square. Juniper Square is transforming the private capital markets industry with solutions and services that streamline fundraising, investment operations, and investor reporting. Designed for commercial real estate, Juniper Square is trusted by hundreds of investment sponsors to manage more than $1 trillion in real estate investments. Reach Juniper Square at junipersquare.com.
I'm Mike Consul.
And I'm Mark Consul.
Welcome to Report from Europe. It's December 2021. We're going to be talking about the build-to-rent market and the United Kingdom. Merrick, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Mike. Good to be back, as always.
Yeah, so build-to-rent is something we hear a lot about stateside. In the UK, you're starting to, it says, you know, the article in the magazine talks about a period of steady growth for the UK build-to-rent market or build-to-rent sector. Let me start by just seeing, is this a UK trend or are there other Eurozone nations that are seeing the same thing?
Yeah, we've got similar picture in some parts of Europe. Countries like the Netherlands and Germany have more advanced residential markets, parts of the Nordics as well. But we're seeing similar trends driven by similar demand drivers. For example, in France, I was chatting to a manager the other day. In France, they've also got a lot of pressure on the need for more housing, as well as affordable housing. So there's a lot of talk there about changing secondary offices in some areas into residential, repurposing those and stuff like that. So people are trying to come up with stuff. I suppose that repurposing thing isn't built to rent, but it's
another aspect of it.
There's a little bit going on.
Isn't one of the advantages of build to rent that you can take a plot of land and you build on that, and it's almost like apartment units in that. Not that they're connected or anything. These are single family homes we're talking about, but now you can have a maintenance crew that is on site that doesn't have to drive across the city. If you start accumulating homes, if we're just going to buy up homes and then we're going to rent them, they could be spread out for a distance and make it more difficult for maintenance, the kind of maintenance and service that people come to expect when they've got a rental, at least if they've got a good rental. Certainly in an apartment building, typically it's kind of like we'll send somebody over because they have somebody on site at all times. I would imagine the build to rent offers that advantage as well as new construction. People love moving into a fresh new place.
Yeah, a lot of people do. No, you're right. Yeah. I think that's a good point. I mean, one of the things about build to rent and sort of residential is that it's highly operational. So, you know, you'd have to have those systems in place with the maintenance and what have you. But I think that's, you know, that's one of the advantages. And it's also one of the reasons why it's in such demand because, for example, in the UK, the residential, the rental market is for private accommodation is extremely fragmented, and the quality of the landlords and the properties varies dramatically. So you could call up your landlord one day, but he might not come around for a week to come and fix, you know, a leaky pipe or something. Whereas hopefully with these operations with build to rent projects, you'd have, as you say, sort of, you know, a small team that can either be on site or be based within an urban area, and they can get to different projects, you know, at a quick time. Or I suppose you could use third service providers and set up agreements with them, service agreements, and they'll sort of turn up within 24 hours or 48 hours or whatever the deal is to come and fix something that's gone wrong. So, yeah, that's definitely an advantage. And yeah, like you say, people want to move into brand new properties and
at least first round after the first ones to move in. And, you know, by the time you get the fifth and sixth and seventh move-ins, no doubt there's some nicks and cuts along the way.
That's right. That's right.
Why is it popular now? I mean, what does it offer the market that didn't exist before?
Yeah. I mean, I guess its popularity is growing rapidly. I mean, just to put it into perspective, according to the MSCI Real Estate Universe Index, so just 3.7% of that index is invested in residential in the UK. So if you compare that to the, you know, US, which is about, I think, 27.1%, which is quoted in the article, it's a big difference. But I suppose the UK is suffering a severe housing shortage. So for all sorts of reasons. And there's a sort of, and that demand from people for new accommodation is unlikely to sort of wane or disappear anytime soon. So investors have recognized that for a long time now, and they're looking to hold a more diversified portfolio anyway, of which residential is one. Residential is very decoupled from the wider economy. You know, people pay their rents, so it's kind of stable income, and it could be an inflation hedge as well in some cases. So, I mean, it doesn't offer massive returns all across the board. You know, they're more sort of stable income, almost bond like. But it's now an established asset class in the UK, and you know, more and more funds are getting into it. So it's going to grow quite significantly by the sounds of it. I mean, if you look at the past decades, there's been a sort of period of steady growth in the UK in the build to rent sector. And that's sort of being led by specialist funds, and what have you,
they're dedicated to build a rent, but are we talking institutional investment? These are institutional dollars.
Yeah. And also sort of, you know, on the stock market with their REITs. But I think what's interesting about that is that growth over the past decade has been focused on cities, so sort of urban areas where there's lots of jobs. So it's maybe been targeted more at sort of professionals who can pay quite high rents, you know, young professionals, middle-aged professionals, but also, you know, like you were saying, sort of single family sort of apartments and stuff. But I think that's going to expand now and become more a sort of multifamily thing as well, and maybe be based in the suburbs as well, so just outside city centres as well. So it could be, developing.
Mm. The professionals who may be still mobile, on the move, they're going to be offered another job. They may get a promotion to headquarters. That's a relocation. So they may have decided that we're better off renting than buying at this stage.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
Does that resonate? Or and the other aspect of this is, what are the rents like in the UK right now? Are they very high like they are in a lot of parts of the world?
Oh yeah, definitely. If you look at London, very high. Yeah. You know, we're talking you know, £1,500 at least for something basic. And then considerably more as well in different areas. But very, very high. But I guess it's kind of a self-perpetuating problem for some people, because in order to buy a home, you have to have quite a big deposit, but you can't save for the deposit because you're paying so much rent. So you kind of get stuck in this vicious cycle. But that's almost a completely different story. But,
that's exactly what's happening here in the United States, where it's actually cheaper to buy as long as you have the down payment and you know, a certain degree of down payment. Your mortgage payment's going to be less than your typical rent. Mm-hmm. But if only for that down payment is the problem. And there are people who choose to rent. they, you know, home ownership, if you've ever owned a home, you realize that home ownership isn't always cracked up to be, because everything that goes wrong is on you and you've got to get it fixed. There's pros and cons to home ownership. Now, you have in the article, in the headline, in fact, Merrick, you posed the question: Is UK build to rent at an allocation tipping point? answer that question. First of all, what do you mean by the question allocation tipping point, and what's the answer to it? Well, what do you mean by allocation tipping point for starters?
Yeah, so are we going to see, you know, a flood of investors begin to allocate their money into the sector, sort of in a nutshell? But it poses the question, because although the demand drivers are there and everything looks as if a lot of private institutional capital could go into the build to rent sector, residential sector in the UK, it's still there's still sort of two key problems. So finding the assets to acquire in the first place, either the land, getting the planning permission, and then finding a developer to build it up with, and then managing those projects. I mean, we mentioned sort of the maintenance of accommodation earlier. That's another feature of it, you know, the whole management operation. So, and there's a shortage of completed investment stock, and then, which is why people are doing so much build to rent. But there's issues with build cost inflation, and the planning system in the UK is quite slow to improve new projects. And then the other aspect on the management side is that many investors have little or not much expertise to manage BTR schemes. So collecting rent from, you know, X hundred amount of units every month is a very different proposition to picking up, getting your rent from a logistics provider or from a big blue chip company in an office. And obviously the turnover is far higher in residential. People move in and out, as you mentioned earlier, the professionals who are mobile and move for jobs to different cities a lot more often these days, or different areas of cities. So leasing operations have to be, you know, a rolling process. It's constant decisions, you know, made over the trade-off between rent levels and when you're empty. So I guess it comes down to three options with management is, I suppose you could set up an internal management operation and have a brand like some people have, call your residential something, your residential project something, set up a website and then get people in like that, tenants like that, outsource it to someone who's done this before, or enter into service agreements with different operators. But all of this impacts on investor returns. You know, I made that point earlier about the returns are stable, but they're not spectacular. And part of the reason is because there is so much cost involved in the operation of things as well. Investors have to sort of weigh up the options carefully, as do managers, obviously, who run the funds and who go into projects with investors in joint ventures or whatever. But there's a lot to think about in the market at the moment.
Well, let me ask you about another aspect of this that I don't know that this would be stated as part of the strategy, because it may actually work against this whole effort to rent out the homes. They build a spate of homes. Let's say they build 100 homes. Mm. They rent them out. You were saying, you know, the returns are not spectacular, but they're solid. Mm-hmm. Now, presumably, the real estate, these homes, will appreciate in value over time. And at a certain point in the future, the investors could say, let's go ahead and sell the homes off, mm-hmm. whether as a package or just put them all on the market and start to sell them. And we are going to get considerably more money than it costs us to build these. Mm. Does anybody state that? I have not yet seen anybody do that who's in the build-to-rent business, but it's such a new segment of the housing industry that there wouldn't be at that point anyway.
Yeah.
Any talk about that as a strategy? Or like I say, maybe that kind of defeats the purpose. Who wants to rent a home where they may say, hey, we're going to sell this now, get out?
I mean, it's. I suppose down the line, it's definitely an avenue that people could take for sure. But like you, Mike, I haven't heard too much about that. I think the model at the moment is, I suppose it says it does what it says on the tin, to use a popular phrase here. I've probably mangled that anyway. But it's to rent, build to rent rather than sell, I guess, and they're in it for the long haul. So I don't think that's in the plans, but, you know, never say never. And obviously things can move quickly sometimes, and a project development can exchange hands and different things can happen. So especially if there's a massive downturn in house prices, apartment prices. But I'm not saying that that will happen, but that could be, certainly could be something that could happen. But like you, I haven't heard too much about that. No.
Right. So there are some problems regarding supply and management, is my understanding from the article. Is that correct? What's the supply and management issue?
So I guess the management issue was sort of what I mentioned before about the operational side of things. And supply is just, things are slow at the moment with development and getting planning permission. And, you know, the cost of building projects continues to go up. Materials have been at a very high level and hard to get a hold of this year. So it's slowed things down in terms of supply chain. I guess the UK, you know, just doesn't have that much land either. So it's freeing up some of that land as well, which needs government intervention at a national and local level. So there's a lot of issues with that as well going on. The whole brownfield, greenfield site debates, and also a lot of people not wanting things in their backyards. So the NIMBYs, you know, not in my backyard kind of thing. A lot of protests not a lot of protests, but there's always the case, especially in some rural areas or places that aren't as built up as urban areas. There's a lot of resistance from many local residents who are well established in an area to new projects, and that can also be an issue. So it's not a straightforward find a plot of land, get the permission, and start building. It's there's all sorts of small little or big hurdles along the way that you have to sort of navigate.
Now, when a real estate sector gets hot, there tends to be a flood of money in that direction. And when there's a flood of money, you start to get some players sometimes who are not necessarily the best operators, maybe not even the best builders or operators that get in the space. I'm assuming that you're seeing a surge of money into that space, but has there been anything that is indicating that, hey, we're getting some players involved in this now because there's just a lot of money available who would not best represent the housing market in the UK. Have you seen any of that?
Yeah.
Or is it, you have? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's been a couple of big deals. One really big deal. So Greystar recently announced, just last week, I think, recently announced a strategic partnership with the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. So ADIA, for short, the acronym, 2.2 billion to develop build to rent in London, which is massive, massive deal. And they'll be doing that in sort of a part of West London, I believe it is, or Southwest London. So that's, that's big. And Greystar acquired a company called Fizzy Living, which is one of these operators, has a kind of funky name, and they'll be taking over the management of nearly 1,000 operational homes already. So they're kind of going into this deal with the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority, and they're also buying an operation straight away. So, some people would call that quite smart business, but a very big deal. So that's on the radar. Patricia, a German investor, investment manager, invested in a major sort of 300 apartment build to rent scheme in a town called Reading. Reading is west of London. I can't remember quite how many miles away it's from London, but it's kind of a bit of a tech place. Has a university there and quite a few IT operators, tech operators. So they need good accommodation there. So that's another deal. So yeah, the deals are starting to come through, bigger deals, and you can see that happening. So, and these are all major players who know what they're doing and can raise the standard of the the likes of Greystar and Patricia can raise the standards of the accommodation as well. Patricia and both managers obviously have great experience in other countries of doing this kind of thing. So they know what they're doing. So that's encouraging for the market as well.
So let me ask you about the clincher on this story. The final sentence reads, well, final two sentences, I should say, in many ways, build to rent has come of age. In many others, its UK story has only just begun. So what is the, has it come of age, or do you think it's just begun? What's your assessment of it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think it partly depends on, you know, going back to what we were talking about, home ownership and stuff. The UK has traditionally been a very home ownership centric sort of country. So that's probably the wrong way of putting it. But essentially, most people aspire to own their own home, whether that's, you know, an apartment or a house with a back garden, backyard. I guess we're at that sort of balancing point at the moment where you think, you know, are our house prices so expensive and is wage inflation isn't keeping up with real inflation and the cost of living. So will that spill over into many young people deciding that there's no point in aspiring to own your own home? And if that happens, then it could really, really take off for sure. So it's there's that kind of demographic question that nobody can really answer at the moment. We'll just have to wait and see, the old cliche.
So the story rolls on, it will continue to unfold, and no doubt this is when you will be revisiting along the way. I know that in our magazines here in the States, it's a story that's been revisited multiple times already. So no doubt the development will continue, and we know that you will keep us apprised, Merrick. So until next month, or until the next Build to Rent story, have a wonderful holiday season, and I will be talking to you in the new year.
Thanks, Mike. Likewise to you. Happy holidays, and yeah, happy new year.
This podcast has been sponsored by Juniper Square. Juniper Square is transforming the private capital markets industry with solutions and services that streamline fundraising, investment operations, and investor reporting. Designed for commercial real estate, Juniper Square is trusted by hundreds of investment sponsors to manage more than $1 trillion in real estate investments. Reach Juniper Square at junipersquare.com.